Sugya is not easy. It's not easy, but we're going to crack our heads over this Rashi a little bit and delve in deeply, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll get to Pshat and Rashi. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rachamim, I read the Gemara.
Okay.
Is there another Rachamim?
Okay.
Ba'al HaRachamim. Tolada the more.
Okay.
Again, that's just background. Make sure we know where we are. Again, our overall perspective is we're trying to figure out what Rav Papa was talking about. Rav Papa said that you have Avos and Toldos, and you have Yeshmen, Kayotze Ben Meshmen, which are not Kayotze Ben. Kayotze Ben meaning the same result in terms of the consequences of the Av and the Toldah. Lav Kayotze Ben meaning different consequences for the Av and the Toldah. And we went through Av by Av to try and figure out which one is the one which is not Kayotze Ben. Kayotze Ben is easy to find. Lav Kayotze Ben is where we're struggling. So we tried Karen, that did not work. We tried Shen, that did not work. And we tried Regel, and that did not work. Which leaves us now at Bor. We have not really spoken about Bor very much, but now we will.
So if you come on Rav Papa, it's all the Bor?
Well, so fine. First of all, so what, something that should stand out right away, is what's different about the beginning of this Gemara than the prior Gemaras when we were trying to figure them out?
Right?
All of the other times, the first thing we did is to figure out is what pasuk is that refers to the Av. How do we know that it is an Av? And we don't have that here. Why? So I'm not sure. One of two reasons, the Chora. Either it's so obvious because it's really explicit in the pasuk. You know, Shen and Regel in particular were not obvious at all. Right, we had to go through our drushes and the supporting psukim in order to figure out. Even with negicha, we needed to support exactly what it was, what type of negicha was talking about. So maybe bor, where the Torah basically tells the story, right? Ki yiftach ish bor, if somebody opens up the bor, ki yichrei ish bor, if somebody digs the bor, it's all out there in front of you. So maybe that's the reason that the Gemara doesn't have to say it, because the Gemara is assuming that at least chumash we know. So Parshat Mishpatim, this is the basics. So maybe that's why the Gemara does not do it over here. The second possibility maybe is because the Gemara is about to go through a whole big back and forth to figure out what exactly is the Av and what exactly is the Toldah. So even though it's a little bit backwards from the way we've had in the Gemara in the past, maybe because the Gemara is going to get there anyway, maybe the Gemara didn't go there initially. I'm not sure which of the two. But again, it's noteworthy that we have the same pattern of the Gemara trying to figure out where we know the Toldos from. The Gemara has always asked until now what the source is for the Av, and it did not ask it here. So that is at least noteworthy, right? At least, you know, jotting it down, filing it away, and maybe we'll have an answer to it. Maybe one of those answers, maybe something else. Okay. Tolad the Bor.
Tolad the Bor. Mine, what's a Tolad the Bor? Eli, if you say Av, Yod, Yud, Esav, 10.
Right.
Tolad, Tet, 9. If you say that Av is 10 Tvachim and the Tolad is 9 Tvachim.
Meaning?
The Bor side.
Right, the depth of the Bor. So a Bor that would be 10 deep would be considered to be the Av. And the one which is 9 deep is considered to be the Toldah.
Not 10
ktv,
but not 10 ktv. It's not written, nor 9 tefachim is written in Torah, nor 10 tefachim is written in Torah.
So it doesn't make sense, right? Why would you distinguish between a bor tes and a bor yud when the Torah makes no such distinction? Neither one is stated in the psukim. It just talks about a bor. So how could the different size of the bor be the distinction between whether it's an av or a toldah, or whether it's mefurash? Because again, that's always what we need when we're trying to figure out whether something is an av or not. So that should be the starting point, is to figure out what the psukim are referring to. So it does not work in the psukim over here. Good? Okay.
Halakash, this is not a problem. Hashem says, and it dies because of
it on it. If it died, again, this is the end of the story, right? If you look at the two, there are two psukim about Bor. So the first pasuk tells the story, right? Of the if the pit is uncovered or the pit is dug, and the animal in nachal sham ashora chamor, which is going to be important soon. And the next pasuk talks about the consequence, right? Bala that you're going to have to you're going to have to pay, and then it concludes with the hamesi elo, the mesa belonged to him, being one of those pronouns that we don't know to whom it's referring, and the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion about that a different time, not for now. But the Maitza, it does say v'hamesi hi elo. So what? V'kim lehu
l'rabbanan. V'kim lehu l'rabbanan. So Rabbi is called.
Meaning they had a Kabbalah. They knew. Yeah. V'kim lehu l'rabbanan. The Rabbanan knew
that Yud Avdan Midah, so it's 10, the 10th question is, it's going to kill it, it's going to kill a person.
It can cause death.
It can cause death. But 10, Nizikin, it causes damage.
Nizikin Avdei, Misa Lo Avdei.
Misa Lo Avdei.
Right?
Damage can cause, but not, it cannot kill a person.
Right. So again, the pasuk says... Right, the pasuk says... It's brand new, I got to reach out to this. Now I can figure out how not to lose it.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Rames Yelo. Alright, these are the words in the pasuk. Now this is referring, again, this is referring to the consequence or the result of the story. The story is the shore fell in, and then we're figuring out how much you have to pay, and something happens with the carcass of the animal. It goes to somebody. Right? So the Gemara says, what you see then, is that what kind of boar are we talking about? What kind of situation? One that results in there being a carcass. With it meaning, it means that Avesielo equals, right, the shore died. Because otherwise there's nothing to talk about with Avesielo. Now, come along Chazal, and the Rabbanan know, and this is not to be disputed, this is there in the Sora. I don't know exactly where it came from. It does not sound like it came from, you know, experimentation. Maybe a bit. But this is the Kabbalah that they had, that 10 Tfachim can, right, is Roi Lohamis. It would be normal. More than 2 feet. More than 2 feet. Closer to 30 something to 40 inches. Right? Assume the top up is somewhere between 3 and 4 inches. So, again, I really don't know. I don't know much about animals and their ability. But if you can picture this big animal suddenly falling into, you know, 30 inches down. It could certainly fall in such a way, though, again, I don't think it's necessarily going to break its neck, but even it might just have a fatal injury. You know, when these animals, if you ever been to the racetrack, I don't know if you've been to the racetrack, not for when it comes to the horses, I can tell you a different time, but it's over there when I went to the racetrack. That's for another time. I had a friend who owns a very famous horse. If you've heard of American Pharoah, the first Triple Crown winner in 38 years. Yes. So my Bala Batam, he owns a horse. And the horse won the 3 big races. And it was one race where it was going to be racing in New Jersey and on a Sunday. Always on Saturday. But this one was on Sunday. So I had very few excuses left when he invited me to come, and they were having kosher food and whatever. So I went on an outing with my children to the racetrack. We did not bet. The horse did win, though. And we had an enjoyable Sunday afternoon. It's right down in Monmouth Park. It's right near Lakewood. There's a racetrack over there. Anyway, often it happens that if these horses fall or anything like that, and they break a leg, they kill the horse. Because there's really no way for these horses to recuperate without them really going through a lot more suffering. So there are certain types of injuries in animals that perhaps are more lethal. So again, what we are trying to get, right, our goal is to figure out what is considered to be an av of boar, and what is a toldah of boar, right? In order to be an Av, it has to be in the Torah. It has to be explicit. So right now, the Gemara... What? If you can find something that argues, I'd be happy to see it.
Can we say something about Tosfos? Maybe doesn't, from what the one we saw yesterday? I don't remember how it came out.
I don't recall.
About Tinfah Pigrams.
About what?
When it came to Tinfah Pigrams.
Oh, Tosfos learns that as one exception to the rule where you can have something which is written and may not be considered to be an Av, but not in the opposite direction.
No, no, the Rashi on Dal Mubet, when he says Avos, Kari Lahanach Tachsim Yikra, he doesn't say Behede.
Okay, so that might have to do with the Rashi that we're going to see today. But how explicit does it have to be in the perspective? The case that you're referring to is the opposite, where you have something which is written and not considered to be an Av. But you don't have something which can be considered to be an Av without being written.
Or at least Darshan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're going to talk about when we pair this Rashi to pieces a little bit later this morning. Okay, so we have why don't we turn back again? Quickly. The Shaka Matari of the Gemara. The Gemara says we need to figure out if the Tolda Bor is like Bor. So the Gemara suggests, well, first we have to figure out what the Tolda Bor is. So first the Gemara suggests that the Av is Yud and the Tolda is Tes. Then the Gemara asks, well, there's no mention of Yud or Tes anywhere in the Chumash, so how can you possibly distinguish between an Av and a Tolda about Yud and Tes? It says in Bor. 9 is a bor, and 10 is a bor. So if 10 is an av, 9 is an av. It's all the same. No?
No, it's up to the Mishnah.
That Mishnah was just some background in terms of how we got to these numbers. That's where Rashi and the Gemara were getting this from. All our engineer was on the Mishnah and Dr. Nalos. I really just put that in a little bit of a background so you guys would understand that they didn't just pull the stuff out of a hat. Yeah.
So you're saying the fact that it's about Mace Yellow shows it has to be a board where there could be a mace?
So that's the next step. That's the next step of the Gemara. So the Gemara first says that they should be the same, because there's nothing explicit in the Torah. Then the Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? We can have a chilek between the two. Really, what the pasuk means when the pasuk says bor and afal shoma bor, even though it doesn't say what kind of bor it is, well, the end of the pasuk says Mace Yellow. That means that the animal died. And Chazal have a Kabbalah that the animal is only going to die in a boar of Yud Tvachim. So it must be that what is the Pasuk talking about? A boar of Yud Tvachim, 10 Tvachim. And that is why it is an Av. And if that's an Av, then theoretically, Tes being for an Ezekin can be a Tolda. Right? That's what we're holding right now. The Gemara is going to reject it. Gemara's going to reject it in a moment. But that's where we're holding right now. Yes?
Very technical. Why did it say 9? Should not just say anything less than 10? It's not always exact. And also, what's weird is that until now, it was always like a specific thing, right? Like, a Tolda would be this action or this action. This is just saying, it's really, even though it says 9, it's really any amount that's less than 10, right?
Or can't do an action.
Presumably, yeah.
So, which is, it's a range instead of like a single thing.
It is, but again, if you think about it, meaning when you originally, the Gemara originally contains the question of what is going to be a Tolda of Bor, it's much harder to figure out what a Tolda of Bor is going to be. When you have actions, you have different types of actions. A whole is a whole.
Right.
I mean, the whole concept of a Tolda by Bor is difficult to begin with. So I think that's what's really forcing the Gemara to go into maybe the result goal. I mean, qualitatively, it's a different type of Bor, which is what the Gemara is saying.
And we know it's not Kyoto today. Or at least that's what
we don't know.
That's what we said before.
That's what we want to figure out.
Right.
Oh. So now that's what the Gemara is holding. So the Gemara is saying right now, right, that the fact that it says that may see alo means it's explicit in the Pasuk on some level. The Pasuk is referring to a boar of Yud, because that's the type of boar that can kill. And therefore, Yud will be the Av, and Tes will be the Tolda. The Gemara says, no. Right, hold on. God bless you, Lord. Marach, Manu, Kim, Rabbanan, Yud, Av, Din, Misa, Tes, Nezikin, Av, Din, Misa, Lo, Av, Dei. The Gemara says, continue.
Sof, Ze, Av, Din, Misa, Ze, Av, Din, Nezikin. So, at the end, we've come out that this Av is for killing, and this Av is for dying.
Right, so the Gemara says, no, we have two avos within Bor. So if we count them separately, don't count them separately, not our issue right now. But there is an av of Bor of Yud from Yisun is an Av of Bor of Tesfin Ezekin. And you're looking at the Gemara now, and all you say is,
what?
Huh? What are you talking about? We just brought a Pasuk and just said that had again. We all know nothing has changed about whether it needs to be from the Pasuk or not from the Pasuk. So the given is that it has to be from the Pasuk. And he just brought a Pasuk that said that may see a vote because otherwise it was all referring to the same. That's what it said earlier. So how on earth did the Gemara not so both are considered to be an Av? How did that happen? What changed in the Gemara? The Gemara made a major shift back to where we were at the beginning to say that they're both considered to be Avos, and the Gemara didn't tell us how it did it. Very difficult line of the Gemara to understand. Right? I'm sure this is what was bothering you guys as soon as you read the Gemara. Right? You can't read this Gemara and not be looking at the Gemara and saying, where did this soap... This is an interesting way the Gemara often is soap. That's like how we talk. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know how many times...
At the end of the day.
So
right.
Like gave up on the whole...
Yeah, again, I don't know. You know, we can do a search and figure out... how many times... Soap? How many times it says soap? But I'll tell you the story. It's a little bit of an aside, but in terms of searching for things, they say that there were nothing for soap. It's a big mirror. There were some boys who were sitting in the base of Medrash, and they were bottling. And he knows what they were talking about. So he walks over to them, and as soon as he walks over to them, you know, he hears, Tanarabana, whatever. So he looks at the boys and he says, I have two tainas on you. Because the first is that I know that really you were bottling. He goes, to be smedish, you know, so this is a time to learn and Seder, not time to talk about other things. And the second is that you're liars and that you weren't learning. They're like, what are you talking about? He says, well, we're learning Maseches Nedarim, and nowhere in Maseches Nedarim does Tanur Rabbanan appear.
Oh my God.
So apparently they told the story over to Rukhan Kanievsky, and he said, it's true that nowhere in Maseches Nedarim does Tanur Rabbanan appear, but there is one place where it says, Minallahu Hadid Tanur Rabbanan. Which isn't the normal meaning of Tanur Rabbanan, it's not the same thing. It shows that like, the greatness of both of them, obviously. But what we can accomplish,
honestly, he could say anything he wanted.
You can't nowadays. Nowadays you can't because everything can be checked. But okay, the power to put our minds to the study of Torah, what we can do the entire Maseches Nedarim to know that the words don't appear is fairly mind-boggling. Okay, but where we are, Rav Osai, is what just happened. What is the Gemara talking about? How is it possible? Meaning. Where, basically, the question that we need to address is, so where is Tess in the Pasuk? Because if Yud is in the Pasuk, from Vamisi Yavo, as the Gemara just said, and Tess does not appear in the Pasuk, then how can it possibly be an Av? And the Gemara already told us that it's learning something from Vamisi Yavo, so what exactly is this shift? What is the source for Tess? Yes?
Just a quick question. Where do we know this kind of
that it causes Misa?
Yeah.
Some sort of Misora. It's a Misora. Again, I mentioned earlier, I don't think they necessarily did experiments to throwing animals in. It's some sort of Kabbalah. I don't know if Halach Magrisina might be the wrong term, but it was a Kabbalah that they had. So the question that we, and not we, everybody, all the Rishonim, you can't read this Gemara and not be bothered by trying to figure out what does the Gemara mean? In the Sof, what happened that now we're saying that it is a Av even for Ezekiel? Where is that somehow in the Pasuk? Questions clear? Yes.
Oh, are we supposed to try that
answer? No, let's start with Rashi. If we have anything additional to what Rashi has to say, then we'll work on adding that. This Rav Osai is a very difficult Rashi. Very difficult Rashi. Let's get involved. Okay, let's. Every word of Rashi here. Every word of Rashi is going to be important. Zot Rashi v'zeh avlin ezikin. So again, so right away from the Dibra Masel, we see that that's what Rashi is going to be focusing on, right? The av for Misa is not bothersome. That's what the Gemara just told us. But the av for ezikin, that is bothersome. So what does the Gemara say? Do you guys want to try this, or should we just try to lead the way? Okay, here we go. Ready? Dim nafal shor bebor tisha umeis pater bal habor. V'imhuzak chaya. So first Rashi tells us a din. What happens if an animal falls into a 9-tefach bor and the animal dies? So says Rashi, the din is that you do not have to pay. That's what it sounds like. Maybe we'll revisit that at some point. But that's what it sounds like. Balabor v'imhuzak chayev. But for Hezek, you would be chayev. So we certainly need to try and understand, and we'll have to see this at some point. So why is it that you're pater? And if the animal is dying, so what did Chazal mean when Chazal said v'kim lehu l'rabbanan that yud is avdimisa? Right? If Chazal said, how do I know that it's the pasuk is talking about a boar which is yud? Is because as amesi yavah, and only a boar that yud is able to kill. This is kfira. How can Yigrashi go against Chazal? Chazal said it's not going to die. How can it die? Okay, so obviously, Chas v'Shalom, Rashi's not saying Kfira. We need to understand it. How do you stick the two things together? Rashi, on the one hand, is telling us, if it died, again, when we only had the Gemara, then we could have said in the Gemara, it's a fact. Chazal understood, and Chazal knew, that if the animal falls into the bor, which is yud, it's possible that it's going to die. It's less than that, it's not going to die. And that's the Metzius. But Rashi from the beginning is telling us, well, not so clear. All the pasuk is telling us is that if it dies in a boar of tes, you're gonna be pater. So how exactly? So that's one question that we're gonna have to get back to, right? Is why pater. Right, if dies in tes.
Is it why butter or is it why the chal, how could it die in?
Well, the two probably, presumably the two go hand in hand. Well, again, the answer is that obviously it can die, otherwise Rashi wouldn't have said it. The question is, why is it going to be butter, and how does that jive with what Chazal told us, that there is both kedei lahamis? So that's one issue that we're going to have to figure out. Hopefully we'll have time for that at some point. But let's just get into the nitty gritty of Rashi now. So again, Rashi is bothered by Ze'av and Ezek, and it has to be that there's somewhere in the pasuk where we see that it is an Av for an Ezek. So it continues Rashi. The Avhu, a boar of test for an Ezek is considered to be an Av. Deha midiyuka dekra nafka. It's learned out from an inference in the pasuk. Midirsiv v'hameis yihyelo, from the fact that the pasuk says that the carcass belongs to him. Dimashma bor asara, which sounds like it's talking about a pit of 10. Debar makdilhu, which has the ability to kill. Chayo v'misas hashor, you are liable for the death of the ox. Habatzir mehachi, but less than that, b'misa lo chayiv, you're not chayiv for misa, habin nezikin mischayiv, but you are chayiv for nezikin. Okay, how did Rashi answer the question? Right, the question was, okay, and we know Rashi, if he wrote it, must have thought he was answering the question. Question was, how do I know that Nezikin, that a boar tes is an av for Nezikin? And again, Rashi told us that it has to be that somehow it's learned out, just derived from the pasuk. Rashi now told us, in version number one of Rashi, right, first lashon, how it's derived from the pasuk. So how is it derived from the pasuk? Okay. So it says, I don't know what you just said. Now what I do? It says in the pasuk that may see yellow. Okay. So what does that do for me?
It has to be
that may see yellow means it has to have caused death. So what kind of pit is the pasuk talking about? Right. That may see yellow. Right, implies that it's a bor of yud. Okay. So how does it tell me that? How does that get there? How do we get from that to there being any sort of explicit or implicit mention of bor tests in the pasuk? That's what I need for bor tests. For bor tests to be.
If 10 kills, then anything less than 10 should be.
Oh, what did you say?
If 10 kills, something less than 10 wouldn't kill.
Okay. And therefore?
Therefore, that's what you need higher for damage.
Okay. Okay.
But that would make it a bad look.
Why?
I mean, that's what we were assuming the whole time. Because it's not really explicit, like, it's not.
Oh. Okay. So let me try to put both of the things that both of you are saying together, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of clarity here. I probably would have thought, had it not been for the Gemara, that in order to be an Av, it really has to be explicit in the Pasuk. I probably would not have thought that V'hameis Yehi Elo, at the end of the Pasuk when it's talking about how much you have to pay, and therefore we infer from that we must be talking about a boar that could have caused the animal to die, I wouldn't have thought necessarily that qualifies to be an av. But says Rashi, it's clear from the Gemara that is good enough. So Rashi now tells us, we are willing, right, that an av, right, can come from a diyuk. It infers. Even if it's not explicit in the pasuk, if we can be medayik it, if we can infer it from the pasuk, that's good enough to be an av. That's not Rashi's chiddush, that's the Gemara. Because otherwise, v'hameisi elo can't be the av even in the previous stage of the Gemara, when the Gemara said that it is the av for misa. Says Rashi, let's take the diuk one step further. The Torah says we're talking about a bor v'nafal shama shorah chamor, that the animal falls in. Bala bor yishalei, you have to pay. Then it says v'hameis yehi elo. So says Rashi, let's continue the diuk. If we're going to make a diuk, v'hameis yehi elo is that you're only going to be chayiv to pay if it dies in a bor which has the right amount to kill, which is a bor yud, that tells us that you're not chayiv to pay if the animal dies in a bor less than yud. Right?
You're not chayiv.
You're only chayiv to pay. That may see a low. Chazal understood. It means that it has to be in a way that should have killed the animal. That's a bor of yud. If it dies in a bor which is less than 10, then you're putter. You don't have to pay, right? What do you not have to pay for? The animal dying. Says Rashi, continue the diet. It's the animal dying that you don't have to pay for in a bor of tests, but for damage that you would have to pay for.
What damage would there be if it's dead?
No, if it doesn't die. Again.
In the case of damage.
Correct. Again. The Torah says, the animal falls into the pit. What type of pit are we talking about? We don't know. Says the Gemara, from the fact that it says v'amesi hilo, is that we're talking about a pit which has the normal ability to kill the animal, which is a bor of yud. So says Rashi, the diyuk that the Gemara is making is that, if it's v'amesi hilo, must be one which is roi l'hamis, which has the ability to kill, which is a bor of yud. The inference from that, then, is that if it's if it dies in a pit, which is not roi to die, again, because if what Rashi is saying was not true, then Chazal did not have to tell us that it's talking about a bor yud. It could just tell us it's talking about when the animal dies in a bor. The fact that Chazal said is teaching us that if it dies in the bor, which normally kills animals, therefore it's talking about a bor yud, so I give him a die. But what happens if it dies in a bor, which is only 9? You're putter. But what are you putter from? Says Rashi, there's no reason to assume that you're putter from anything more than that which it was trying to be mechayev you. So you're putter for what you'd have to pay for dying. But for the fact that it damages in a bor of 9, which is appropriate for a bor of 9, it was never a p'tur for that. Because it's learned out from an inference. What you're saying would be true, that an inference would be a tola, not an av, if the Gemara told us that. But the Gemara already says that we're learning out the av of bor from an inference.
It's like an inference of an inference.
Okay, but Rashi's telling us, again, this is the first shot in Rashi, is that once you're learning out from an inference, who cares? One, it doesn't have to be explicit in the sense of mefurish bekra behevya, right? Absolutely 100% explicit. And I'm only learning that from Diyuk. So why does the Diyuk have to end there? That's the soap. The Gemara started off, the Hava Amina of the Gemara, right? Stick it back in the Gemara now. The Hava Amina of the Gemara was that the Gemara thought that it's only considered to be an Av for Misa because you just had a Diyuk of M-A-C-L-O. Then the Gemara not explaining anything, it's soap, this one's an Av for this. You know what the soap is? Continue taking the Diyuk further. Why do you stop the Diyuk then? If you're willing to accept the Diyuk in inference as being enough to make something into an Av, take it all the way. Take the bow and run with it. And then you'll end up, to get according to the first Lashon in Rashi, the source for both of them is technically Vamei Si'elo. It's different Diyukim from Vamei Si'elo. But Vamesielo, inferences from Vamesielo, serve as the source both for 10 being an Av for Misa and 9 being an Av for Nezikin. That's shot number 1 in Rashi. Got it? Yes.
It doesn't really explain the way you told them for it.
We don't have a Toldo Bor. At this point, the Gemara is going to have to keep going to find the Toldo Bor. At this point, we don't have one. Correct. But?
We barely have the
Av. Now we have two of them. Now we have an Av for Nezikin and an Av for Misa. We don't have any Toldos yet. That's correct. The Gemara is going to keep going. I stopped us. I thought we had enough to work on just with the first half over here. That's the first Lashon of Rashi. Now let's look at the second Lashon of Rashi.
I'm going to answer the question.
Not yet. I want to see the second Lashon first, and then we'll try to answer that question. Says the second answer in Rashi. Lishna harina. Sof, ze'av l'misa v'ze'av l'nezikin. Right, that's just a quote of the Gemara. Right, in the end, this is yud is an av for misa, and tes is an av for nezikin. Tichi heichi, just like Dinafik lan mikra borasara the misa, just like we learn out from the pasuk, the bor of 10, when it comes to misa, nafgalan bor tes linizakin. We also learn out a bor of 9 when it comes to damages. How so? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says. Now again, there are two pasukim. You have to keep this in mind. There are two pasukim when it comes to bor. There's what I would call the story pasuk, and then there's the consequence pasuk. The first pasuk talks about, the story pasuk tells us about a pit being dug or uncovered, and then the animal falls into it. The second pasuk says, now what happens? They have to pay for it. So Rashi says, look back at the first pasuk. Dechziv v'nachal shama shoro chamor. Plus the story tells us that there was a pit, and an animal fell into the pit. What kind of pit was it? I have no clue. It doesn't say, right? So mashma, it sounds like bein meis uvein huzak. Whether the result is that the animal died or the result was that the animal was injured, there's no chiluk. It just says an animal was walking and fell into the bor that you dug or you uncovered. And what happens in both of those cases? Keep reading into pasuk number 2. Balavor mishalem. The balavor has to pay. So again, according to the Lishna Farina, right? This is the Lishna Kama of Rashi. The Lishna Farina of Rashi, the Av is not learned out from a Diyuk. The Av is learned out from V'nafal Shama Shor Ochamor. So the Av, according to this explanation, is explicit in the Pasuk. It's not an inference. It's not an inference from V'hameisielo. It's not a Diyuk. It's explicit in the story of the Pasuk that you dug the ditch, and then the animal was walking, and the animal fell into it. V'nafal Shama Shor Ochamor, right? And there's no differentiation. It doesn't tell us whether it's tes or yud, right? Therefore, bein yud, bein tes. This now serves as the source for the av of, for both of us, for the av of Nezikin for tes and the av of Isa for yud. Now Rashi not done yet because you guys all have a big question on Rashi. Didn't think of, yeah.
I was gonna say, why can't it also be for you for Nezikin unless he doesn't die?
Yes, yeah, because of Kim Hulder, but then it would. You would be tired.
Seemingly it's only from.
No, because every board test, every board yud is a board test. Meaning.
Oh, it's at least that.
Yeah, meaning. We never would have thought that if it's more, if it's a 20-foot thing and it's damages, that you shouldn't be fired for it. Just like if it's 10, it's not 10 and not more.
It's just, why do they pick 10? Because that's when he usually dies, I guess.
10 is the minimum for death. Less than 10, Chazal understood, will not cause the sword to die. Again, let's get back to that question about if it does. How did that happen exactly?
It's basically on Biderech, like the usual case.
That might be an answer. But let's hold off on that section, which at this point is clear. What's the obvious question? Again, according to the second Lashon and Rashi, the source for the Av of Nezikin, the source of the Av for Nezikin of a Bor Tes, is the exact same Pasuk as that of the Bor Yod. The story says in the Pasuk that a Shor fell in. It doesn't say what happened. It doesn't differentiate. And the next Pasuk says, Baal HaBor Yishalem. So what's the obvious problem?
You should pay also for when it dies in the ninth Tefachim.
Well, we can have differentiations. I'm not sure if that's the question per se. Close.
Why does the Gemara give a whole lot
of... Isn't it against the Gemara? The Gemara said the source is about Mesiyelo. Right? That's why we were so hung up. Right? We started out being totally hung up with Mesiyelo. Do you know why we were hung up on it? That's what the Gemara told us. The Gemara told us that the source for the Av, for Misa, was Amisiyelo. So, it's a double-pronged question. Again, it could be that the Gemara moved away from it. The Gemara moved away from it at the end. That was a Havamina and Maskana. But Rashi still needs to explain it. So what are those words, Amisiyelo, coming to teach us? Coming to teach us. And again, if it's not coming to teach us anything, then maybe what Jack is saying is true. Maybe you should be chayiv in a pit of a nine if it dies. So how do you know not? So Rashi continues. Rashi is sensitive to everything that's bothering you. Says Rashi. Umiyu. Imei sashor. If the shore ends up dying when it falls into this pit, Omar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, before Tisha Potter, the low Mahmas Habor Mace, the Ain Bo Kade Lohamis. So according to Rashi, what's the Mace-Yelo? The Mace-Yelo is not a source, it's rather a Petur, it's an exclusion. It's an exclusion that if the animal should die in a bor, which is not one that should cause it to die, You're not obligated to pay for it. You're not obligated to pay for it. Aval huzak chayiv debor tisha barni zaken hu. But there's no reason to ever have excluded the bor tisha from zaken. So again, that's the two pshatim in Rashi. Two pshatim in Rashi. The first pshat in, again, Rashi was dealing with the obvious question of how did the Gemara see in the end a source in the pasuk that's going to create an av for an Ezekin. The first approach that Rashi had was, anybody want to try? Right, it's learned out from what? The diuk, right? The diuk of the diuk, right? We from the diuk of Amesi Elo, the Gemara now says we can take that diuk a step further. And you can assume that just like that a diuk, that it's only going to be chayiv in fermisa in a bor kedei lahamis. And if it's not a bor, which is the right amount, meaning it's less than 10, you're not going to be chayiv to pay. That's only paying for it dying. But if it's injured, there's no reason that you shouldn't have to pay for that. That's source number one in Rashi. Answer number one, Rashi. According to the second pshat in Rashi, both are learned out from v'nafal shama shor hamor. It's explicit. And maybe that's the again, we'll talk about it in a second. You know, when you have two pshat in Rashi, you have to try to figure out like what are the benefits of each and what are the weaknesses of each. Now, if Rashi thought there was one perfect pshat, then he probably only would have written one. But there's l'chora, at least one strength and weakness to each of them, which is why he tells us both of them. So we'll get there in a moment. But the second shot is that it says v'nafal shama shor chamor, and that story does not distinguish between what happens to the where it falls. What are you going to do with the v'amesi elo at the end of the pasuk? That's just saying that if it actually does die, you're only going to be chayiv in a bor which has kedei lahamis. Those are two pshatim in Rashi. Clear? Hard? Good? Okay. So later, I'm not going to do it now. Make sure you can read all that back into Rashi. I think just by taking every single word of Rashi and translating it and thinking about it, I think we pulled the pshatim out of Rashi. I believe that that's correct. Make sure you see it in Rashi. But the question is, why does Rashi need to pshat them? Meaning, what did Rashi not like about each one that caused him to come onto the other? Any suggestions in terms of the first one? What's it? Is there a weakness in the first pshat of Rashi, which is fixed by the second pshat of Rashi? Yeah.
I think there's just less of a set of diuk in it. Into another diuk, it's just one thing.
Right, lechora, that's the weakness, and that's what's fixed in the second shot, right? On the fact that that it's only learned out from an inference, none of the other avos nezikin are learned out from inferences. It turns out maybe from other psukim that support that what the pasuk is talking about is what we're claiming it's talking about, but it's not from an inference, and certainly not from an inference of an inference. Maybe that was the weakness of the first one, and that is actually fixed up by the second one. Because in the second one, he's basically saying that it's drawn out explicitly in the Pesukim. So if that's true, why would he not go only with the second shot, right? If the second shot is stronger.
Whatever he's better
than the right? The Chora, in terms of the Hamesi Yelo, is more difficult in the second shot than the first shot. Because now it's a very different reading of the Gemara. The Gemara really sounded like the Hamesi Yelo was the source. Now, either Rashi has to be learning that the Gemara totally rejected that and is a new mahalach, which again, you don't see, you know, explicitly in the Gemara, or somehow the Gemara originally meant what he said now, but that's not at all obvious that that's what it meant. So I think you guys are right on target. Or those are the weaknesses in each of them, which is why Rashi offers us two pshatim. In passing, right, Rashi seemed to be dealing a little bit with the question that we had raised beforehand. Right? Why, in fact, is there going to be a p'tur in a bor of tes if it dies? If it dies. Right? Why, if the animal, again, if Chazal understood the animal dies in a bor of, only dies in a bor of yud, then A, so how is it possible that it died in a bore of tes? And why should it be putter for it? Again, you could say, Xeris on Kosov. But it's not that explicit in the pasuk that I would that you know my initial reaction would be that's just what the Torah says. It's another din of another din in the Zika. So it's possible, but again, I think in passing Rashi may have clued us in a little bit as to why you would be why you'd be potter. Yeah.
I think is when Rashi says the lo machmas the or.
Oh.
I think that's the key. I think he's trying to say that if an animal's going to die from less than 10, that probably means there's something wrong with the animal in the beginning.
Very good. Very good. So second, in the second shot in Rashi, he certainly seems to be giving away to us why is it that the why is that it's putter? The answer is that it goes hand in hand with the first thing that we said. When we said, how can it be that it died if Chazal said that it doesn't die less than 10 tefachim? The answer is that it didn't die because of the boar. All Chazal said was that the boar of 10 is not enough to kill it. If it dies in a situation of less than 10 tefachim, then we understand that that wasn't because of the boar. It was weak. There was something else about the situation that caused it to die, but it wasn't machmas habor. And if it wasn't because of the boar, even if maybe the boar was a contributing factor,
an assist,
then that's not enough to be mechayev the bal habor. That seems to be explicit in the second version of Rashi. I think that was also explicit in terms of other Rishonim in what you saw in the Shita Mekubetzes. Right, the Shita Mekubetzes. Just pull it up a second. Thank you again, Ryan, for the assist. Shita Mekubetzes, right? Daha de'ena chayev amisas shor bevor tisha. The reason that you're not going to be chayev for the shor dying in a boar of 9. La mishum de chashav yisus ashor eino roi before tisha. Not just that it wasn't appropriate. El mishum she'ein bo kedei lachamis. Sounds like what the Shita Mekubetzes is learning is that it was not the boar that killed the animal. Because
Ken... The first thing you said about roi, it's not as...
La mishum de chashav yisus ashor eino roi before tisha. So it's a good question, what exactly? I mean, obviously it doesn't mean the second thing that he said, because then he would have just said, it couldn't have did two things. It seems to mean that it's not, the first one would probably mean that it's not normal. That it's not normal. And because an alternative shot would have been, and we saw this in another Marmakomos this morning, and there are other ones, is that it's not the norm for it to happen. It could happen.
I'm saying there's literally nothing that it could have
Right.
happened.
He's understanding not that it can't happen. Matthias is, if you go out and you do the research, there are plenty of animals that have died in, it wasn't because of the boar. There was some other contributing factor. An opinion that disagrees with that, for example, is the way the Rambam seems to say it. The Rambam in his Gemamon in Perek Yud Beis, Alachat Esvav, Bimhaya Pachos Me'asara, if it's less than 10, Pater Amisas Abahema, then you're not Chaya for the animal dying, meaning, obviously, it could have died, right? If it does happen, you're going to be Pater. Aval im huzge bevor chaya v'shah nezek shah. Now feel of a tal gavoh, koshu, v'chafir, koshu, even a little bit. Shah nezek v'koshu, dover motzoi v'yadua. Because damage can come even, again, this is something that we're talking about some of the guys this morning, you know, what's the minimal shear? How far does it go? Rambam's explicit. Any little bit that you dig, and because of that, the animal trips, that's a bore. If it dies, that's not your problem. But if it gets injured, that's your problem. If you, and again with more of the details that we'll have to get to as a session at some point, of boar, if the animal trips because you decided to dig a little bit in the Rishus HaRabim, that is that's your fault. And then he finishes off. Ve'ein amisa b'chol shel mitzuya v'arehu kimo onus. V'arehu kimo onus. What does it mean? It's like an onus.
He can control it.
Sounds like what's the patur according to the Rambam? Why is the guy patur going to onus?
It's not his fault.
So what?
So you're onus patur.
Right, so why is there a patur of onus? Luchora, there's a patur of onus, if we think back in the Zikin language, right, in the Zikin world, is because that's true, but again, in terms of our case, why is the onus significant? Is because if I created damage, I'm responsible to watch and make sure that if I get potential damage, I have to watch. I have a chiv shmira to make sure nobody's going to get hurt. If it's not normal that the animal is going to, that this is going to happen to the animal, I have no obligation to ensure that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, but just as much if it would have got hurt from falling in, meaning the problem is when it falls in.
Okay.
So if you have to guard it from damages, yes, it might die, which is
so not. So that's a good question.
You still have to guard it, though.
Yeah, but correct.
Extra guarding would have been necessary, that's what I'm saying.
That's correct. But I can't be Machayim for something that you didn't have to guard for.
Yeah, but either way, it couldn't have happened unless it fell in. And you were supposed to prevent a damage from falling in. Happens to be the outcome was that it died because of whatever situation.
So it can't be Machayim for the part that you didn't have to watch. Meaning, the mashal, if you gave me your diamond ring to watch, and I left it out in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue. So I'm gonna push it, right? You all agree? Let's say I come back an hour later and it's still there and I take it back. Was I a pushaya?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Am I chayav to pay you? No, nothing happened. I did a poor shmira. So here also, I guess the pshat would be is that the amount that I'm going to have to guard it to avoid injury and to avoid death, maybe are different. And maybe if I know that there's a possibility of death, I'm going to be more careful. And that much I didn't have to guard for. So you're right. I was poshe in terms of shmir, but I should have been watching for damaging, but that can't be machayim me on something else.
That is very interesting.
Oh, I don't want to get too far. Those are two different approaches to the beginning. So this approach is assuming that it's possible that it will die because of the pit. It's possible it will die because of the pit, but it's not normal. And if it's not normal, then in the world of Nezikin, I don't have to be concerned making sure that it doesn't happen. So you can have two approaches in terms of that question. Right? Why is it going to be putter if it dies in a boar or a pest? It's not just some sort of magic trick. But once Chazal understood that Misa comes about from a boar yud, so either one of two things. Either, if it's less than that and it happens, it's not my responsibility to have been worried about that. Or, if it does happen, it wasn't because of my bore. It was because of something else. Yes?
My question is, what if there's like scorpions inside the bore? Would that be mafusa?
Oh, like Yosef Atzadik.
Is that considered mafusa bore? Is it
dafka
like the fall, or is it like what comes
out? So we'll have to talk about that later. The Gemara, that Gemara in Nefala talks about whether it's the chavata, whether it's the banging, whether it's the havala, the air in the pit that causes the person to die. The animal, sorry. That's a bigger discussion.
Also, another question is based on not the answer of it's not normal, but the answer that it's not machmas avor. In halacha in general, like, I'm not sure, but at what point is it? Meaning, obviously, it's a contribution to it, right? No one's arguing that. The question is whether it was.
Yeah, right? Again, so, but grama b'nezakin is no one's pater. Even if you want to say that it's an indirect and consequence, you are still pater. If you want to say it's a zevzegorim, it's two different factors.
Like, halachically, let's say somebody attacks. Causes damage to somebody, and you do like the finishing blow. Are you chayev in that case?
Sometimes you are. Sometimes you are.
So why should you not be chayev here? Just
well, you don't know what finished it off here.
Well, clearly the board.
How do you know?
Because let's say it had some type of.
You don't know the chronological order of what happened.
Have a heart attack.
Right. So the boar might have caused it to have the heart attack. But the boar didn't kill it.
Okay, let's say you saw it die instantly when it fell in.
You know what's going on inside the kishka of the animal.
I don't know.
Okay. So the question is, does the first opinion in Rashi disagree with this opinion in Rashi about this question? Right, the second one was explicit that if the animal dies in the boar of nine, it wasn't because of the boar. It was not explicit in the first approach of Rashi. Right, the Rashi there said, "Nafashar b'bor tisho meis pater." Why? I don't know. It sounds like midyuka dekra. The master borasar the bar mektul chayev. Habatam elchi b'misa lo chayev. It sounds like it's only issue of terms of chiyuv. So there are those that want to be medayik that in the first that the only reason because otherwise why did Rashi wait till the end to say this point? Why did Rashi this chiddush, which again affects both opinions, the chiddush of why it is that you're not going to be chayiv if he dies in a boar of tes, and that Rashi tells us the end is going to be because the because it wasn't the boar that killed it, why doesn't Rashi mention that at the beginning? So those who want to suggest that it's because Rashi's not assuming that way. Rashi at the beginning, when everything is coming from Ram ACLO, just learns it out of Chazal and understood that the normal approach is that it's only going to die in a boar of yod. If it doesn't do that, then it's not normal. And if it's not normal, you're not obligated to watch for that. What you can think about, I don't think we're going to have time to try to do this right now, is are those two points connected? Meaning, is there any reason that the first mahalach in Rashi, the first approach that says that everything's learned out from the diyuk, is there any reason why that one specifically would not learn that it's because the boar didn't kill it, and the second one, which started out from Nafash on the shore, is there any reason that one specifically learns out that the boar can't kill it or not? Not 100% sure what the answer to that question is, but it's interesting to point it out. Because again, once there are two Lashonas and Rashi, so we understand the main difference between the two. And the main difference between the two is whether it's learned out from the Diyuk or whether it's learned out from the Nafash Shama Shor HaChamor. It seems to me there's a secondary difference also, which is that the second one says Nafash Shama Shor HaChamor says that the reason that you're going to be putter if the animal dies in a boar of nine is because the boar didn't kill it. Something else did it. And then the other one makes no mention of that. The only thing it talks about is the pasuk, which sounds a little bit like it has to do with whatever you're normally responsible for, not because it can't happen. And the question to think about, and you can work on a little bit tomorrow morning, not that I spend too much time on it, is there any connection between those two? I'm going to spend some time thinking about it some more as well. But again, I think, you see, again, this Rashi is, there is an approach, again, I didn't see it inside, right? So I quoted, but the Chassam Sofer wants to suggest that the whole Rashi is really one answer. And that the Lashon Achrina is coming to enhance the first one. I'm not 100% sure. Again, you obviously have to take the Lashon Achrina out, those words out. But some, again, I understand what he's trying to do. But on the other hand, it doesn't read well in the Rashi the way we have it in front of us. But I think this is at least an approach, again, to really breaking this Rashi down and seeing how it fits into the Gemara. And then this is the soap. For whatever reason, the Gemara didn't spell this out for us. But this is the shift in the Gemara from assuming that it was not an Av, that both of them can be an Av. And then tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll have to continue and figure out. So if Tess is not going to be a Tolda, because it's also going to be an Av, so what is a Tolda of Bor? Is it Kayotze Bo or not? And maybe we can finally decipher what Rav Papa was talking about. Okay, shkoyach, guys.